Well, good morning. I'm glad to see each one of you here today. I was away for a few weekends in a row, and I miss seeing you. I miss being here. So I just want to welcome you in the name of Jesus, our Lord and risen Savior. And I'd like to welcome any guests or visitors who are here worshiping with us, and welcome to those watching via the live stream. Just think about what Jesus did for us. He died in our place and has given us eternal life. Eternal life when we accept Him as our Savior in our hearts. He made us righteous. He adopted us as sons and daughters. So just praise God this morning for all that He has done for you. We don't deserve it, and we can never be good enough, and we can't earn it. So just come before God and lay everything at His feet this morning. Just praise and worship the King. Will you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, just thank you for your love and your mercy. Thank you for our fathers and the father figures in our lives that point us to you. We are here to praise you this morning. We lay down all of the worries and stress from this past week and the week ahead of us. Just come near us. Fill us with an outpouring of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
I invite you to stand as we worship this morning. And also, I also invite the ushers to come forward during this first song to collect our tithes and offerings. And the children may come forward for My Coins Count.
Father God, we're here this morning to honor you. Lord, we ask that you would help us to live our lives in a way that brings glory to you. We just thank you for the way that we have here in this community, the opportunity to educate our children in so many ways. And we just thank you for the truth that you give us in your word as Christian parents. Lord, we ask that you would equip each one. And this morning, as we share in these offerings with some local Christian schools, we ask your blessing upon each of them, that they would stay anchored in truth and would not get sidetracked. And Lord, however we educate those whom you've placed in our care, help us to point them to you at each and every step of the way. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Take my life, holiness is what we long for. our living hope. Finished, the end is written. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much that you are our living hope, and that we have forgiveness of our sins through your death on the cross and your resurrection. And Lord, I just pray that your presence will be continue to be felt in this room this morning, and not just while we're here, Lord, but as we go about the rest of our day, as we leave this building and go through our week this week too. I just pray that you be near Tony as he brings us your words this morning. As in your holy name that we pray. Amen.
Well, good morning. It's time for our children's message, so I'd invite the children to come forward. Good morning, guys. How are you doing? Good? Did you have a good day yesterday? Did you play outside? Did you work at home, like clean your room and stuff?
No.
No. Well, this morning, what are we celebrating today?
Father's Day.
Father's Day. Very good. Yes. Well, this morning we are going to be talking about angels. Those pictures are, I'll have some more slides. They're what people thought angels look like. I don't really know what angels look like, but these are people's ideas of what angels look like. So how many different types of angels do you think there are? Well, I should say how many different categories of angels are. Well, there's at least three. The first one is messenger angels, like here. You have an angel talking to Mary. The angel came and told Mary that she would be the mom of Jesus. You have warrior angels, like Gabriel. Oh, no, wait, sorry. Like Michael, the archangel. He leads God's armies to fight against Satan. And the third, you have worshiping angels. Those are kind of different looking angels, aren't they?
Yeah. Like a lion angel.
Yeah. But they get to be in front of God all the time, praising and worshiping Him.
And
a
cow.
Yeah. When people see angels, they often are scared. And sometimes they don't even know they're talking to an angel. There's different accounts in the Bible. Well, people didn't know they were talking to angels. I'm going to read Luke 1, 26 to 30. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin engaged to a man named Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you." But she was deeply troubled by this statement, wondering what kind of greeting this could be. Then the angel told her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." Mary was a little bit confused and a little bit of afraid when she saw the angel, and the angel had to tell her, "Don't be afraid. God has a plan for you." See, God sends his angels out to do his work. That's what angels do. They do the work of God. God also uses people to do his work as well. And since we're celebrating Father's Day, he uses dads or someone who's a father figure in our life. It might not be our dad, but we have other people in our lives that are like a dad to us. They teach us and direct us, and they do many things for us. So I want to pray for you guys, and then you can have a snack and head back to your seats. Will you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, I just thank you for these children. Pour out a blessing on each one of them. I just pray that they will know you, God, as their Father, by accepting Jesus into their hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you guys can have a snack right there and head back to your seats. Well, good morning and happy Father's Day. We are going to continue our sermon series on spiritual warfare because spiritual warfare and Father's Day, they go very well together. As heads of our households, spiritually and in other ways, we need to lead and set the example. If we don't know what we are facing and how to face them, how are we going to stand and fight and lead our families? And what I do with the remote? Oh, there it is. To some of us, Father's Day may be a very difficult day because maybe you lost your father or you didn't have a good relationship with your father. Maybe you're single or unable to have children. I just want to encourage you that whatever circumstance you are facing, our Heavenly Father is always there for you to lead you and guide you and help you. You can have a great relationship with Him, even if your relationship isn't good with your earthly father. Now, this doesn't make it easier, but I just want to encourage you maybe getting involved. There's many opportunities to be a father figure to others. You can be a father figure to your nieces and nephews. You can be a father figure by coaching different sports teams, teaching Sunday school, leading many of the youth organizations that are out there. There's plenty of areas where you can get involved and speak into the hearts and lives of young people and even older people as well. Young adults, you can speak into people's lives. Being a mentor is a great way to get involved. If you don't know what you're doing, that's quite all right. Because as a father, when we had Hannah, it didn't really sink in until they strapped her in the car seat and they put that car seat in the car for the first time, and you went, oh my, now what do we do? We have to take this kid home and take care of it. I drove really slow and cautiously, praying that she wouldn't cry all the way home. Sometimes you just have to dive in and speak into other people's lives, just like parents dive into parenting. And you'll be amazed at how God will touch people's lives and touch their hearts. The most important thing you can do is to pray for the youth around us and the young adults and people you work with. The act of praying is so powerful because even that, if that prayer is unseen, you're fighting for them in the spiritual battle that they might be facing. You're going before them in prayer. So this message this morning has something that each one of us can glean from and put into practice. It's not just for fathers. The chapter we're going to look at in Dean Sherman's book is titled The Invisible Terrain. Ephesians 6:12 says, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." We see spiritual battles take place here on earth. What we do not see are the battles that are taking place in the heavenly realms. This is where it gets kind of hard to understand. Maybe this slide will help a little bit. You see the physical realm, and then you see the spiritual realm. There's kind of a separation line between there. See, God and His angels and His Spirit can move freely between these realms. But I was thinking more about this, and maybe it's kind of like this. Because it's going on all around us. It's not just in heaven. It's going on all around us, and we just can't see it. Maybe it's more like we can only see what's in our little bubble. We're given some examples in the Bible about this, and maybe they will help us to grasp what he's talking about, of having this separation in these different realms. So in Genesis 28:10-12, Jacob left Beersheba and went toward Haran. He reached a certain place and spent the night there because the sun had set. He took one of the stones from the place, put it there at his head, and lay down in that place. And he dreamed a stairway was set on the ground with its top reaching to the sky, and God's angels were going up and down on it. I can understand a stairway where the angels were moving up and down on it. God is trying to show us and how these things work. A different example, the Armenian army is trying to wage war against Israel. Elisha is warning the Israelites repeatedly what the Armenian army is doing so they can avoid them. 2 Kings 6, 12 to 17. One of his servants said, "No one, my lord." The servant was speaking to the king, and he was telling him, "No, we're not giving out information. The prophet of God is giving the information." Elisha, the prophet of Israel, tells the king of Israel, "Even the words you speak in your bedroom." So the king said, "Go and see where he is so I can send men to capture him." When he was told Elisha is in Dothan, he sent horses and chariots and a massive army there. They went by night and surrounded the city. When the servant of the man of God got up early and went out, he discovered an army with horses and chariots surrounding the city. So he asked Elisha, "Oh, my master, what are we to do?" Elisha said, "Do not be afraid, for those who are with us outnumber those who are with them." Then Elisha prayed, "Lord, please open his eyes and let him see." So the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he saw that the mountains were covered with horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. The servant's eyes were opened, and he could see into that spiritual realm. The horses and chariots were there. They were there, yet he couldn't see them before Elisha prayed. And it doesn't say in our text that Elisha saw them either. But we know that Elisha had faith that God was surrounding him and protecting him. Many times when an angel appears to someone, it's suddenly. In Genesis 18, Abraham is sitting at the entrance to his tent. He's resting there in the heat of the day, taking a siesta. He looks up and there's three men standing there. It's like they just step through this invisible barrier. To help think about this more, most of you have cell phones. Can you see the cell signals flying around in the air? No. Can you see the data flying around in the air when someone sends you a text message or a video? You can't see that, yet you know it's there because your cell phone works most of the time, and you receive your text messages and videos from people. So we can't see that invisible world, yet we know it's there. Revelations 4:1. After this, I looked, and there in heaven was an open door. The first voice that I had heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, "Come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this." John describes the vision he had of being in the Spirit and seeing the throne room of God. He describes there being an open door into heaven. God opened a way for him to see into the heavenly realms. There's invisible terrain all around us. In this invisible realm, there are battles fought. God's angels going and doing his will. Praises are offered to God continuously. We catch glimpses through visions and dreams into this hidden realm, yet we can't pass into it like God or his angels can, unless God opens a doorway for us. So do you believe in angels? I'm going to read an excerpt from Dean Sherman's book. The reality of angels needs to be commonly accepted, even taken for granted. For instance, if I said, there are many chairs in my house, you wouldn't consider me mystical. You could come visit me and see them. It would not be difficult for you to agree with me, but if I said, there are angels all around you right now, you would be less certain, less willing to acknowledge them. As a Christian, you might say, well, I think so, I sure hope so. There probably are. But we need to come to the point where we are absolutely convinced of their reality. We need to be able to acknowledge their existence as easily as we can chairs in a room. So we need to take it on faith and believe what God says is true, because in Psalms 34:7, the angel of the Lord camps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. There are many times in our lives that we could easily give luck the credit for something good happening or something bad not happening. So how do you see it? Is it angels or is it luck? I have had too many things in my life happen to me at just the right moment and just the right time to keep me safe that it is definitely angels surrounding me. It is not luck at all. It is God watching over me and protecting me. So do we thank God for sending his angels to protect us? Are we thankful for those working for us? Do we thank the angels for doing their job and doing what God is willing them to do? I don't mean praising them, because praise is only for God, but we can thank them just like we thank someone else for serving God on our behalf. Every day we walk in the visible and the invisible. Every day as fathers, we are called to lead and guide our families as they go out into this world facing the seen and unseen things. We as dads get to do all kinds of things, from chauffeur duty to bug killing and anything in between. Well, since it's Father's Day, we're going to watch a short video.
Life is always fair.
I really enjoy repeating myself over and over again.
I just love when the kids talk back to me. I don't care if you get a job this summer. I don't care if you get detention.
I can't open this jar. See if Mom can open it.
Just take your time in there, okay?
No means maybe.
Hey, why don't you bring that ball inside and play with it?
Hey, don't put that back where you found it. Just leave it on the floor.
Ew, bacon.
If you put a dent in the car, it's really no big deal.
It's 10 a.m. Go back to bed.
Look, whatever your friends are doing, just do the exact same thing.
I got more than enough sleep last night.
If your friends are okay with it, then I'm okay with it.
Stop signs are just a suggestion.
You don't need a chaperone.
You don't need a seatbelt.
You don't need a savings account. You should buy the jeans with the holes in them.
Hey, we're all gonna go to church, but you can just sleep in, okay?
Can we please just hang out in here for another 10 minutes?
Hey, can we get some more bickering back there?
All right, bills!
Yay, traffic!
Woohoo, taxes!
Yes!
Laundry!
Hey, can you kids come in here and jump on my bed?
Quick, go tell Mom what happened right away.
You don't need to finish your dinner. Hey, look at your phone when I'm talking to you. I wish I had a smaller TV. We got you that phone for a reason. Texting boys.
All right, everyone, listen up. Mom and I are going out of town this weekend, so please, mess up the whole house while we're gone. Please throw a few parties while we're gone. Please forget about the dog entirely while we're gone. Hey, when you're finished pouring that, can you just leave it out on the counter all day? Thanks.
Hey, what are you doing?
I'm gonna bungee jump out of this tree.
That's a really good idea.
So how many of you fathers have said opposite of that, some of those things? I definitely have said opposite of some of those things quite often. We say many things over and over again, trying to get our kids to do the stuff they're supposed to do. But when it comes to that time when they need us to step in and help. We get to be a DPS. What is a DPS? You might be thinking, it is the dad positioning system, giving direction to our children. I'll give you a little story. We were at Spruce Lake in the Poconos over Memorial Day weekend. We went up Friday night, and Hannah drove herself there on Saturday morning. Well, she attempted to drive herself there on Saturday morning because the GPS in her phone stopped working properly, and she found herself about a quarter of the way there, and she called Teresa, and explaining the situation, I was handed the phone. So we talked a few minutes, and I figured out where she was. I was using my phone, looking at Google Maps while I was talking to her on her phone. And I gave her directions to a certain point down the road. When you get here, give me a call and I'll give you more directions to the next point. Well, I received a call from Hannah, and she exited the highway because she saw signs from New Jersey, and she definitely didn't want to go to New Jersey. Well, if you have ever been to the Poconos, you know you drive almost to New Jersey, and then you make a turn and go north. So I had to figure out where she had exited and get her back on the highway. She had to take a picture of the map where she was at and pin it and send it to me so I could look at that map and try to figure out where she was, because it was near Allentown and there's tons of roads around there. And we got her back on track. And I gave her directions and I told her, okay, call me back when you get to this certain spot. Just stay on this highway to this exit north, and you'll be okay. She calls me and she said, I'm here at this exit. And she mentioned some road numbers, and I went, that doesn't seem right. Hang on a minute. So I looked on my phone and went, you went south instead of north. There was an exit just down the road a mile, so I talked her through that, getting her back on the right path where she should go, and I stayed on the phone this time. And I talked her through every step of the way. I gave her like distances, and a couple miles you'll see this. I gave her landmarks, and she eventually arrived where we could meet her and then take her the rest of the way, because in between there was some bad cell service area in the mountains. So we went and we met her and we got her to Spruce Lake. Did you have fun driving that way, Hannah? No. See, God our Father leads and guides us in the same way. When we make a wrong turn and we call on Him, He directs us back on track. And when we make a wrong turn, He gives us directions to get back on track and says, go. And that works sometimes. And then there's other times where He has to constantly be guiding and constantly talking to us and until we get through this situation and we reach our destination. Just like I did for Hannah, we as fathers lead and guide our families. So how are we supposed to do this when there's all this invisible terrain around us? How are we supposed to lead when we don't know what's going to happen or what's in front of us? Well, we can lead by example. We can show our families that we are in God's Word. Show our families how to fight the enemy. Show our families how to humble ourselves and go and ask them for forgiveness when we mess up. We have to demonstrate how to fight spiritual battles. Great. I have to demonstrate how to fight spiritual battles, but I don't know how to fight spiritual battles. Well, we have to prepare ourselves. And then we can train and prepare our wife and our children, because we have to first go and put on the full armor of God, like it talks about in Ephesians 6. And we also have to focus on what is important. See, I used to focus on the things that I was giving up for my family. Those things that I gave up, I was focused on those. And as I have grown and God has shown me what is really important in my life, my focus is, what can I give up for them? Did you catch the difference? I went from focusing on the past to focusing on the future of what I can do for my family's spiritual health, their guidance, for their future. See, when I go before God in prayer for my family, I am fighting for them. When I humble myself and spend time in God's Word, I am fighting for them. And when I share what God is doing in my life, I am fighting for them. I used this slide in the earlier sermon I preached in this series, but it's very fitting. The Father is carrying God's Word in His hand. And you see His shadow. He has armor on. He is ready to fight. He's ready to fight that battle. When we go into spiritual battles, we need to have God's Word in our hearts and in our minds. And this means that we need to be digging into the Word, mining for God's truths that He has put there. We need to be in prayer for our families, going to God on their behalf. Daniel 10:10-14. Suddenly a hand touched me and set me shaking on my hands and knees. He said to me, "Daniel, you are a man treasured by God. Understand the words that I am saying to you. Stand on your feet, for I have now been sent to you." After he said this to me, I stood trembling. "Do not be afraid, Daniel." Again, someone was afraid when an angel had come to him. He said to me, "For from the first day that you proposed to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your prayers were heard. I have come because of your prayers. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia opposed me for 21 days. Then Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me after I had been left there with the kings of Persia. Now I have come to help you understand what will happen to you, or what will happen to your people in the last days, for your vision refers to those days." Daniel was having a vision from God. He is the only one who is seeing this. There were other people around him in previous verses, but they ran and hid because they were filled with terror, because the angel was there and they couldn't see what was going on. Daniel was doing a partial fast, a mourning for Israel over previous visions that he had seen. And an angel was there giving him a new vision of what was to come. And in these verses, here's what stood out to me. God heard Daniel's prayers. They were heard from the first moment he humbled himself and went before God. See, God hears our prayers from the first moment we ask them. There was a spiritual battle going on, and it took place. And that battle delayed the answer to his prayers for 3 weeks. Michael the archangel, captain of God's armies, had to get involved. Daniel was facing the invisible terrain that was around him because it took so much longer for his prayers to be answered. God showed him in a vision the other side of that invisible wall. So we need to be consistently in prayer, listening for God and speaking to God. We need to share our heart with God, but we also need to listen. This happens on set times throughout the day. It happens on set times and throughout the day. See, I get up regularly and have some prayer time, and then throughout my day, when someone's name comes to my mind, I pray for them. So that's something that maybe you can do if you struggle having a time of prayer. The third thing we need to do is walk by faith, that God has heard our prayers and that Scripture will come to life when we read it, so we can lead and guide our family. Faith that God will carry us as we lead our families, because we will make mistakes, we will mess up, and we have to have faith that God will lead us and carry us through. These ways that we can stand against the enemy, they apply to each one of us, not just fathers here on Father's Day, because each one of us is walking in this invisible terrain that is all around us. But I want to encourage you, fathers, to look at what you have and not what you have lost. I encourage you to dig into the Word daily. Spend time in prayer daily. And point your families to Jesus. Will you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, thank you for the example that you are, that you have given us, so that we can be fathers that our families need. Thank you for our fathers that point us to you. Thank you for the father figures in our lives. And thank you for the memories of those that we have lost. We just pray that you will bless the fathers here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
I just want to draw your attention to a flyer that is on the tables out here in the foyer and down below in the foyer. I am involved with an organization in Reading called FREE, which stands for Freedom and Restoration for Everyone Enslaved. And we have an open house coming up. We purchased Refuge Home in January of this year, which will be a home serving survivors and victims of commercial sexual exploitation, sex trafficking. So we're hoping to have the doors open to survivors by the beginning of next year, and we have an open house for anyone interested in coming to learn more about it, about the program, and to see the house and get a tour of the house and to learn about the organization. So I know that that is the same day you'll see as Bible school, the last day of Bible school, Thursday, June 23rd. So if you're involved in Bible school and can't make it, feel free to talk to me, and I'd love to arrange something that you can come see it another time. Hi, Jace. So it is Thursday, June 23rd from 5 to 8 p.m., and if you can't make it then, let me know. I'd love to get you connected, and if you're interested in volunteering or getting involved in the organization in another way, feel free to reach out to me, and I'd be happy to get you involved. Thank you.
Thanks for that message, Tony. Some of you are aware of a teenager that was killed in a car accident yesterday. And when something like this happens, there's a lot of details. And for the sake of accuracy with those details, I'm not going to give a lot of details right now, but I think a lot of you know what I'm talking about. There's connections here at Bowmansville. So I'd just like to take a little bit of time after church here. I'm going to be over in a corner of the overflow. I'd like to take some time in prayer for the families that are affected. And yeah, I'm sure they're in a dark place. You can only imagine.
Thank you, Lauren and Brian. And yes, the family is going to definitely need our prayers throughout the coming days, weeks, months, and years. So I'd encourage you to come and join in prayer. So I'd also encourage you, to everyone, to pick up a candy bar and give it to someone who is a father to you, a father figure, or your actual father. That's up to you what you do with that. I'd just like to thank Rachel and Teresa for setting this all up. And so just come and pick one up. Will you stand for the parting benediction? May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. God bless you. You're dismissed.